getting back to the basics. Before I start here, I want to say thank you. I'm so thankful. As you know, and I sent out an email that we made it financially for the year 2009, and I'm so grateful for the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of this congregation. And what a privilege it is for Kerry and myself to be the pastors of this church along with the rest of the pastoral staff. But what a privilege it is to get up every morning knowing that you get to minister to the greatest church. Let me say, maybe not the greatest church, but the greatest people. The greatest people in my eyes on the face of this earth. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to the kingdom of God and to the causes of Christ to keep you moving forward. I've entitled the message this morning, Getting Back to Basics. Getting Back to Basics. We are not in just a new year, but we're in a new decade. Doesn't it seem like just yesterday, all of our computers were going to crash. That the year 2000 was going to bring doom. That year 2000 was the end. The Lord was going to return. There were going to be all sorts of disasters everywhere because our computers wouldn't work. It doesn't know how to change over from 1999 to 2000, and therefore it was going to be catastrophic. People stored up water, food. Guys had a chance to buy all of the stuff they wanted to always buy. And they had a reason for it. It was that you could, but honey, the world could end. We need this. It was a guy's heyday. It was a guy's dream. It never happened, but the guys kept all the stuff. That was good. Where are we headed this next decade? Where are we headed this next year? I shared a little bit about it on New Year's. A number of you weren't here, and so I want to review and add to and clarify a number of things. Where are we headed? The motto, I think, for 2010 is re-us again in 2010. Just a re. Because that re word has this concept of going back, returning. There's so many re-words that we could apply here. I didn't want to just do one. There's revive, there's revitalize, there's recharge, there's renew, there's revisit, there's reinvest, there's so many re-words. There's tons of them. But I got this concept that we're to take a look back at where we've come from, that it might give us the energy and motivation to go forward. Now, let me say this. When I say revisit, I'm not saying let's go back to where we were, but I'm saying I think there's something powerful in turning and looking back to where we were so that we can move forward from where we are. And I'm going to think of that. Just keep that in the back of your head. For us to go forward, we need to go backward. Okay, just keep that on your mind. I'm going to answer that in just a moment here as we get through this message. In order for us to go forward, you must look backward. What is God looking for? What is God looking for? As I serve Him, as we go into this next year, what is God looking for? In Psalm 2:12, it says this, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who trust in Him." This word perish, I brought it up before. It's the Hebrew word. The number of this Hebrew word is number 6. Interesting, the number of man. And this Hebrew word is translated, is the word abad. A-W-B-A-D. Bad. I think it's true. It's bad to perish. I don't think we should perish. I think it's funny sometimes how God takes these words, at least in our English vernacular, back into Hebrew words, and they mean something a little bit different. Abad. And it means, this word perish means to wander away or to lose oneself. To wander away or to lose oneself. And I thought it interesting, this word, to wander away or to lose. It seems like in our trek, in our walk with the Lord, walk in anything, we move forward, we go great gangbusters, we come to know Christ and then powerful things happen, but then for some reason, we kind of wander a little bit. At first, on any adventure, let's say you're into some new sport or some new adventure, or maybe you're investigating buying a car, or maybe you're investigating a new something. At the very start, all of our energy goes into it, and we're kind of consumed with it. And all of our energy goes into it, but then after a while, things start to dissipate, and it doesn't hold its importance as much as it once did. It was cool, and then it kind of... just kind of wander. Life happens. Stuff happens. I think the same thing happens in our Christianity if we're not aware. I think that as we come and walk with the Lord, we get fired, we get energized, we move forward, and we're sold out for the kingdom of God. It's all that matters. But because of the process of time, because time happens, because stuff happens, because kids are born and marriages happen, and hopefully reverse marriages happen and kids are born, and then there's raising families, and then there's school, and then there's jobs, and then there's... we're just consumed, but then our life broadens into so many streams, and it seems like it almost gets diluted somewhat. I'm just saying that's life. It's just life. We get so focused, but then all of a sudden, we start to wander some. We start to wander in our Christianity, and it doesn't hold the focus it once did. That's why I think we need to look back. It doesn't hold that focus. I think we need to reevaluate our lives. I think it's something on the first in this turn of this decade here that we need to reevaluate every year. We need to, the whole idea of turning a new year is people look at their lives and make these resolutions, as I think Phil talked about. But this concept of reevaluating, I think, is an important point. Do we reevaluate where we are? Because wherever you are, there you are. And you can't be somewhere you're not because you're there where you are. You can't be where you want to be right now because where you are right now is where you are. If you want to be where you want to be, you have to do something about where you are right now to get to where you want to be. So you first of all have to evaluate where you are. Where are we? I love the way newspaper writers, they answer the who, what, when, where, why, all that stuff. Where are you today with God really? Where are you today? When you look at the fire, the flame, the consumption, the focus, the vision, the steadfastness, your heart, where are you with the Lord today? I'm not saying what do you put on and all of that. I'm saying where are we really? We must reevaluate that. Where are we? Who are you living for really? God? Yourself? Others? A lot of people live for somebody else and spend all their life trying to please somebody else rather than really pleasing the Lord. There are many areas that we can live for. Who are we living for, really? What are you looking for to get out of this life? The what question. What are you looking for to get out of this life? When it's all over and you're done, what do you hope you got? And what do you hope you gave? What do you hope happens at the last day when you go... and are done? Have you thought about that? What legacy do you want left behind? What do you want your kids saying when you breathe your last? Thank God he's gone. Jeez, what a crotchety old guy he was. Or when he goes, are you hoping that they cry at least for a minute? He was so good. What a great dad. What a great mom. What a great friend. Added so much to life. Where do you want to be then? My one question is, when are we really going to get so serious that everybody notices about our walk? When will it really be all-consuming? And why? Why do we settle for anything less? Why do we settle for anything less? An encounter. I want to have this encounter with God and not wander. That's why we need fixed points in our lives. You know, our world is moving along and it's evolving and all of these things are happening. And there's no fixed points because styles and values and all of those things from a worldly point of view are all just migrating and evolving and moving. And so wherever we are, if we look at what the value is, it's on this system that's floating around throughout this sea called life. But what we need in our life is a fixed point to evaluate where we are, really. I'm not trying to evaluate where I am at with the rest of the world, but where am I at with a fixed point of life? The Word of God. We can be all over, values changing everywhere, and what's right and what's wrong is changing everywhere, but this doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It becomes a fixed point, so no matter what happens, where we are, we can always look back. We can always look back. We can always look back. And that's why my encouragement is, you need to reread it. Another reword. You need to reread the Bible. If you haven't read it for the first time, then read it. But if you have, reread it. Because it's the only fixed point we have in this life. And this life, by the way, is moving on this sea. And I don't know where it's going. But I know where that's going. That takes me to heaven. That gives me a life here that's worth living. It's a fixed point. Thank God for a fixed point to determine and to tell us where we really are. Not where we are in comparison to others, but where we are with God. The solution here, I love this scripture too, where it says, kiss the Son lest he be angry. The Old Testament scripture talking about kissing the Son, talking about a New Testament experience. I love this, and I said it on our New Year's Eve party, kiss the Son. I love the acronym for KISS. Keep it simple. Or sweetie, or something. Sweetheart, or I put a good name in there if you like. Keep it simple. One of the things I believe the Lord will be doing in this decade, or at least in this year, is that we need to reevaluate our simplicity of God and the gospel. We need to reevaluate the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus was a genius. He had the ability to simplify complex spiritual truths in unforgettable and infutable ways, but we tend to do the opposite and make it complicated. If you look at the Pharisees, they took the Word of God and made it so complicated, they had 613 do's and don'ts that were throughout the scriptures that they made into a list that they were all supposed to obey. 613 of them. Do this. Don't do that. You can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't take that. You can't wear that. No, you can't do that. You got to be able to. All of these do's and don'ts. And I love it when Jesus came on the scene. He takes it and simplifies it. Let me give you the greatest thing to do. Love God. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He took the 613 and simplified them down to do this one thing. If you do this one simple thing, honestly, you'll keep all the other ones. He simplified life for us. He simplified what Christianity was all about. You see, the reality of the gospel is that we are sinners and God's wrath is on sin is real, and therefore we need a Savior. And the simplicity of the gospel is God loves you and He indeed sent that Savior. And simplified all of the laws and do's, synthesized it down to here's the greatest. Here's the one that's important. Gave us the one. I started thinking about it. He wants to make our life simple. I remember as a young Christian getting saved and battling with the whole drinking issue. Could I drink? I was a drinker in my younger days. And so coming to the Lord, you know, you search the scriptures and you go, you know, it doesn't say anything about drinking. Jesus drank wine. And you go through all these scenarios and all of that stuff. And then I try to come up with this procedure. Okay, I can drink if my boss at work asks me to drink. If we go out, I can have that. But if any friend who is a non-Christian wants me to go to the bar with them, then I'm not going to go to the bar with them. I'm not going to drink there. And I had all of this, honest to goodness, I was making out all of, I had to have a notebook to figure out, you know, if that, then this, then there, and all of this stuff. And it was so cool because God came to me and said, hey, what are you doing? I'm going, I'm writing down when I can and when I can't on this particular issue. And the Lord was so good. He goes, let me simplify. Do you really need that? Sort of. He just said, just take it out. You don't have to worry about if, then, there, thou, and because of the if, there, and have a book. You don't need it. Just take it out. You have to think about if this situation, that situation. Now, I know that's what he spoke to me, and I'm not putting that on anybody else, but I'm saying he simplified the gospel to me in a very beautiful way. He wants to simplify his word. Love God more than anything else in your life. I found out this. The more your life is about you, the more complicated it is. The more your life is about you, the more complicated it is. And the more your life is about Jesus, the more simplified it becomes. The more it's about you, I got to have this. I got to feel this. Oh, I want that. The more it's about Jesus, what, Lord? It becomes very simple. Want to simplify your life? Make it more about Jesus than about you. Secondly, I think we need to reevaluate our loyalty. Reevaluate our loyalty to God this year. How loyal are we really? In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Running throughout the earth. The word loyal here, perfect is the word in the King James, but the word is shalem. Hebrew word 8003, shalem. And that word means to complete. It means complete. Is your heart completed with him? Or is there a hole in it searching for something else? Am I complete in Christ, or am I longing for something else? Phil's mirror class will help you in that. What are we longing for? What broken cisterns are we going after? He wants us to long with our heart for him. And I love this. Eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Here's the eyes of the Lord. And they're just running to and fro. His eyes are just... Eyes of the Lord running to and fro. Do you see him? What happened? The eyes of the Lord run throughout the earth looking for loyal people. Do they stop over you? Does he take a good look? Because he knows that your heart is enraptured by him. He's looking. And when he finds them, he finds that person. When he finds that person, he says, he wants to be strong. Powerful, another translation says, for that person. He wants to show himself powerful to you because he knows of your loyalty to him. I couldn't help but think about the Geico commercial. Bum, 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 or however that song goes, you know. It's like, and what's the motto of that? Like, this is the money you could, I mean, those eyes are looking at you, sitting on that stack of money. This is the money you could have been saving if you had switched to Geico or something. And I could just see the Lord sitting there looking, going, hey, this is the life you could have had if you would have switched it totally to me. One where I show myself strong on your behalf. Look at the Geico commercial. Now I think about God looking at me. Can you imagine what it would be like if we took these eyeballs everywhere we went? If we realized they are looking, but we don't We don't really see that, but these eyes are looking. The eyeballs are looking everywhere you go. When you go behind closed door and you turn on your computer, the eyeballs are looking right at you. Looking at your hand. What are we going to? Your eyeballs in the middle of a family dispute are looking right at you, trying to find out, oh, she said that. What are you going to say? She said, what are you going to say? These eyeballs go with you at work when all of a sudden they're going, hey, everybody else is just, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to slough off or are you going to work hard? You see, these eyeballs are a reality. We push them off into the distance because, you see, when we walk in our walk with Christ, we start wandering off. We start forgetting that the eyeballs are still looking. They're running to and fro, running to and fro, running to and fro. They're just running to and fro. And where do they stop? No one knows. No, I'm just... Do we understand that He's looking? He's asking you, reevaluate. Here they come, Lord. One eye's over here and one eye's over there. Reevaluate your loyalty this year. Is there anything you need to change? Is there any areas that you need to take a better look at with the eyes of the Lord? Because He is looking. And He's saying, this is the life, the freedom, the power, the grace you could have if you allow me to save you from that computer, from that fight, from that slothfulness, from that sin. Are we loyal? A year to reevaluate our loyalty to God and to Him alone. I think also we need to reevaluate our love for lost people. Luke 19:10. The Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to make sure that we're always looking after lost people in our community, in our nation. Father, we pray again. I pray for Haiti, Lord, for the people who are lost. Lost, have lost everything, oh God. We pray that truly your church would rise up. And Father, when we see some of those pictures of people worshiping, they've lost everything. And yet they're worshiping in the streets and giving thanks and glory unto you. What a testimony, Lord. But I pray that you would touch them in such a powerful way that the aid of the world would come. But I pray more than the financial aid, that the spiritual aid that comes from you would touch them powerfully, and it would be a testimony to how good God is to a nation. Help them, Lord. We're going to be helping them as well. I have another reword here I want to take a few minutes on. It's the word remember. Remember. Another key word, I think, for us for this year, to remember. To exercise memory, to recollect, to rehearse is what it means. To recall to the mind with effort. You see, it takes effort to remember something. And the older you get, the more effort it takes. Ever try to remember something? You go, oh, I just forgot what I was going to... And we have to just... to get it to come back. I was thankful. I was talking to my doctor, and I had a physical here just recently, and I said... And sometimes I forget, I get the first letter, but I can't get the rest of the person's name. What's the deal with that? Am I getting Alzheimer's or something? He goes, no, you just have a hole. In my head? I have a hole in my head. Yes, I have a hole in my head. And which was nice because he says, no, you're just missing some piece of information. You're just seeing a part of it, but it's kind of like a little block in there. And he explained some stuff there, but it sounded good. It's not like I was still going to live, so I'm okay. But do we remember? It takes effort to remember. And what should we remember? What should we go back to? The word remember is used 262 times in the Bible. I think there's power in remembering. Remembering. Barbara Streisand thought there was. Memories. Like the corners of my mind. Misty watercolored memories. Of what? The way we were. I don't even know if it was, I never saw the show or no, I don't even know the song really, as you can tell. Do we remember the way we were? Where were we? Do we remember far back enough to remember the way we were to realize I'm glad I'm not that person anymore? So we have a gratefulness for that. Do we remember the way we were after we accepted Christ and we are sold out for Him to give us the passion and motivation to keep moving forward? Do we remember the way we were? It's amazing to look at parents when they talk about remembering.
Well, I remember when we went to school. We went to school. We walked in the snow up to here, uphill both ways, with no shoes.
I mean, haven't you all heard those stories that come from your parents? You're gonna be telling those stories pretty soon. You're gonna be exaggerating what really happened.
I had to drive in my car uphill both ways.
People, though, who've gone through the Great Depression view life differently than we do because they remember seeing it. They have a greater appreciation for a glass of water or a warm meal because they know what it's like to not have it. So do a lot of other nations. I'm saying remembering sometimes produces great values inside of us as we remember the way it was. We remember not to go back and be what we were, but to use it as motivation and inspiration to launch us forward. It's important to look back in order to go forward. And we can't live in the past, but we use the past to help us to live a better future. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said, the further backward you look, the further forward you're likely to see. There's a lot of truth to that. I think about, like, if I were walking along, just walking in my daily walk, and I got to right here, and there was a big chasm, and there was a space between there and here, and I got here, and I wanted to go forward. I want to go forward, but I don't think I can jump that far. I'm afraid if I take a step or try to jump, I'm going to fall. And so you know what you do when you see that? Every kid knows that. They what do you do? You go back. You get back here. So now you get a run at it. You see, you gained motivation and power going back that will launch you forward. I know that wasn't very far, but we go backwards to get the energy to launch us over hurdles further forward. Do you hear what I'm saying?
That's great.
The motorcycle. Have you seen guys that jump? Did we have that clip on a motorcycle guy? He's had the record for the longest motorcycle jump.
Aussie daredevil Robbie Madison has welcomed the new year with a new world record. A massive crowd watching on at the Rio All Suite Casino in Las Vegas. Madison set a new benchmark for the longest motorcycle jump in history.
330, it's over a football field long. He jumped. Over a football field long that he jumped. Now let me tell you, you don't get at the end of the jump and go, all right, 322 feet, and try to take off. Nobody in the right mind would do that. You know what he did? And the further he wanted to go, the further back he had to go to gain more and more momentum. He didn't just come back a little ways and take off. He realized, the further I'm going to go, sometimes the further back I need to go so I can gain enough momentum, inspiration, motivation to keep me moving and to keep me on the trail so I can hit the jump and hit the obstacle and go beyond where I am today. To go beyond where you are today, sometimes you need to take a look back. You got to remember. You got to remember some things. Remember. But I thought remembering was bad. I thought we're supposed to forget everything, aren't we? Remember what Paul said? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, toward the mark, to the prize. I'm going, wait a second. On one aspect, I'm going to give you a bunch of remember verses here, but Paul is saying we're supposed to forget. Here's what I think he's saying here. If looking back brings you down or brings you shame or puffs you up and gives you pride, then don't look back. Forget it. If looking back inspires you for what you remember to move forward, then take some look backs. Some inspirational look backs that will launch you into your future. I like what Mark Batterson wrote. Is there a place in your past where you met God and God met you? A place where you knew that you were alive in the Spirit? Is there an event? I added some more things here. Is there an event when Christianity made sense and you gave Him your all? Is there a place where you went where you felt God touched you and transformed your life? Is there a place in your past where God became your God and you knew that you would never, ever be the same? Maybe we need to go back and sit there for a while and rekindle the vision, the passion, and allow God to blow on the embers to ignite the flame. Maybe it's time to go back to your burning bush experience with God so He can reignite your faith. Maybe it's time to go back to your burning bush experience so God can reignite your faith. We go back and remember so we can be reignited. I think about, got up one day, into the shower, started to shower, and it was freezing cold. And I thought, oh, it's going to come on here. Somebody flushed the toilet. You know, something happened here. And it just stayed freezing cold. What's wrong? You know what happened? The pilot light on my furnace went out. It went out. And I go, the pilot light in my furnace is out, and I'm cold. Nothing's going to happen to give me heat until I light that flame again. I can complain all I want and wonder why hot water isn't coming out and complain for so many different things, but hot water's not going to come out until I go back and reignite a flame that allows me to have nice hot water that I enjoy every morning. You don't really appreciate hot water until you get in there and you run out of it, right? You've had it where your spouse has taken all the water from you. You get there and it's all gone and you go, God bless them. I hope that they were completely and totally satisfied by their shower. That would be me. I'm always first, so I'm the longest. Yes, I believe showers, if you could, I shave, I do everything in the shower. I would put my clothes on in the shower if they were waterproof. Love being in there. It's a great place. But not when it's cold. When it's cold, you want to get out of there. Do you need to reignite the furnace? Reignite the heater in your life? Have you grown cold somewhere? Maybe you're warm everywhere else, but there's an area someplace where it's just not burning as bright. Do you need to reignite again that flame? I wonder how many times Moses remembered in his mind, went back to that burning bush experience as he was leading the children of Israel out of bondage and all the way through, all of the things they went through. I wonder how many times he went home and these people are driving me. And he thought back to this burning bush and remembered how alive he was and how powerful God was when God spoke to him, I am that I am. Oh, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds great. Awesome. He is that He is. I wonder how many times he went back, remembered the call, remembered the experience, remembered the power, remembered the passion, remembered the life transformation, remembered him being all in, remember his face changing, remember the glory shining. You see, we need to go back and visit some of those spiritual encounters. Not to stay and camp here. We don't want to camp in the past. But it launches us to the future. as we use it to motivate and empower. When's the time when God touched you so well? Can you think about it? Can you remember? Remember what you said? Lord, you have my whole life. You have everything. I give it all to you. It's yours, Lord. It's yours, Lord. And then all of a sudden, time goes and we start wandering and life expands and the sea starts raging. It's times like that we need to go back to that burning bush experience. Remember, let him blow on the embers. That encounter with God. Come, Holy Spirit. Renew us, refresh us, reignite us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Remembering. You see, God remembers. In Exodus, somebody's going to read some scriptures, some I'm just going to give to you. God remembers His covenant. Even when we forget it, He remembers it. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage. Then they cried out, and their cry came up before God because of their bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. That word acknowledged is the word yada, to know them. And God knew them. You see, He remembers His covenant. He never forgets. But God, life is this and that, and things are happening, and it's not going nice, and I'm in turmoil and frustrated. And I remember my covenant. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Abraham waited 25 years for his Isaac. Sometimes we're just to hurry up, hurry up. And God's going, no, no, no. I got you there because I want you to learn some things. I got you in the crucible because you're going to learn some things through that process. I'm not doing it because I hate you. Life will learn you some things. If you put me at the center, you'll learn some amazing things. A man doesn't live by bread alone. Not by all the stuff we get, but by this fixed point called the Word of God. I live by that. Not by the toys I get or the peace that I have or all the wonderful niceties. I live by this. He remembered. He knows what you're going through and remembers His covenant and His promises to you. But Lord, you spoke many years ago about it. I remember. Do you? Don't forget. Go back and revisit so we can move forward. God remembers people. As I went through this study, He remembered, He says it, and God remembered Abraham, and God remembered Isaac, God remembered Jacob, God remembered Rachel, God remembered Miriam, God remembered Samson, God remembered Hezekiah, God remembered Job. He remembered all these people. You see, He remembers us. Even to Jesus remembered that thief when He said, I'll remember you. I'll remember you. Because today, you're going to be with me in heaven. I'll remember. You see, God remembers you. He knows. He knows what you're going through and the difficulties you're having and the turmoils and the things. And He's going, hang in there. I'm with you. I love you. My covenant remains strong. I will be with you. I have a plan and a destiny. Remember my faithfulness and remember to stay faithful to me. He remembers those that feared Him. I love it in Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on His name. A book of remembrance. Oh, who fears me? Meditates on me. Who loves me? Who are you? There's Bobby and Betty and Joe and Gary and... He's remembering. Are you in the book? Fearing the Lord? Is He remembering you because He's got you written down? Hey, I remember. Writing it all down. I like what He doesn't remember because He doesn't remember your sins. Aren't you glad about that? In Isaiah 45, even I, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And in Hebrews, he says, their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Aren't you glad he chooses to remember the good things and forgets the bad? Where to remember to? A couple of quick things as we try to bring this to a close. Where to remember? Where to remember the day in Exodus 13:3, they were to remember the day they left Egypt. Do you remember the day you left the world? Not left the world, you're still in the world. Do you remember when you were no longer of it? I was no longer of it. You see, I'm still in the world, but not of the world. Do you remember the day you were no longer of it, when all of a sudden, it doesn't make any difference. That world means more to me, heaven. You see, I know all this stuff here and all that. And this. Oh, I used to really be into it. But you know what? I left that. Now that's more important. So I'm in it, but not of it. Do you remember that day? Or do you need to have one? Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I'm kind of going in order here. And remember, there's 260 some of them. I'm not doing all of them. I'm trying to categorize a few here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A time to worship God in the midst of all the business of life. An opportunity to refocus. Do we remember to worship Him? We come back here and gather on a Sunday or a Wednesday or your own personal devotions and we begin to worship Him. Do we worship Him and remember how good He is? We come to remember, refocus, reclarify, recenter Him in our life. That's why we come. So I don't walk out of here out of balance. Because if I'm out of balance, boom, 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 then I'm going to long for things I shouldn't long for. When Christ is out of center, life goes out of whack and we look for other things. But when He's at the center and we refocus and we worship, life's in order, it's in balance, and we move down the road of life humming. That's why we come and worship on Sunday. Not just to hear the word, but to worship. Refocus. Number three, remember the commands of the Lord. Do we remember to obey? That He didn't just say them because He wanted to say stuff, but He wants us to obey. In Numbers 15, it says, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and put a blue thread. By the way, blue was a very costly color. It was made of snails. It took 12,000 snails to make a thimbleful of blue dye. To get a garment in about 200 BC, it would cost you, in today's equivalent, about $36,000 to have a piece of garment dyed blue. They have blue threads in these tassels from the corners of their garments. And why do they have them? And then you shall have the tassels and you'll look upon it and remember all of the commandments of the Lord. And further on it says, remember and do my commandments. They have these tassels to remind them to obey. We tell our kids, now the grandkids, when do you obey? Right away. It's believed that Jesus wore those because it was the fashion of the day or what they wore. And when He was walking through the crowd and the woman with the issue of blood came, that's what she grabbed onto. That covenant reminder she grabbed onto. And this woman who was considered defiled and whatever she touched became defiled had the opposite effect happen with Jesus. Whatever she touched in the law of the day was, if you touched it, now it was defiled. You were defiled with the issue of blood, and now what you touch is defiled. Everything you touch is defiled. She comes and touches that covenant reminder promise. Instead of Jesus becoming defiled, but Jesus had the reverse effect on her. He remembered His covenant. By my stripes you'll be healed. Touches the lady. Jesus remembers His covenant. He remembers His commands. Do we? Remember you were slaves in Egypt and God brought you out in Deuteronomy 5. Remember where you came from. Do we remember that? Remember where you were? Remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh in Egypt, Deuteronomy 5 again. Remember what He can do, that He can do that again in your own life. The power that He's done, He'll do again. Number 6, remember the Passover. Remember all the miracles that took place. God told them every year, I want you to stop whatever you're doing. I want you to remember the Passover, the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea. Remember the pillar of fire and the clouds. Remember the manna. Remember Mount Sinai. Remember the Ten Commandments. Never forget what I did for you. Remember me. Remember. Go back. Take a look. And let it energize you for your future. I think that he loved it so much that when we get to heaven, that's going to be the number one video we'll all see. It'll be on DVD. The opening of the Red Sea coming out. He loved it. They always forgot it. Remember the days of old. Remember God's marvelous works and wonders. Remember God's love, how much he loves you. Remember Lot's wife. Why do we have to remember her? It was going great here. Remember, there's a cost to disobedience, so don't be like her. There is a cost. It'll turn your heart to stone. It'll render you ineffective for kingdom use. You got to obey. Remember the Lord in communion. Remember the humility of his death. Do this in remembrance of me. Every first Wednesday of the month, we do communion. So what? We can refocus on Christ. Look back at what he did. I think all of us should yearly visit the Passion film and see what he went through and that brutal torture and humility. So that when we're suffering because, I just want to go out and do that and I'm being tempted beyond what I can bear, we can look at what Jesus did for us to help you through all of your temptations. What it's like to really struggle through a temptation. Realize that ours are so mild in comparison. However, he also says, I know what it feels like, so I'm with you. I'm with you. Remember me on communion, that I died, that I set you free. I'm going to give you a whole new life. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Finally, in the book of Revelation, remember our first love. That first moment with Christ, where we were set on fire. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. What do you mean left? You wandered. You started wandering in life, and things happened, and stuff went on, and I know it, but you just wandered, and forgot to look at the fixed points. And you lost. You lost that loving feeling. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works. Go back and remember. Go back and remember. What was it like being sold out? Oh, let it propel you forward to be even more sold out for him. Wow, lots to remember. But you know what I think is really cool? Even though there's lots to remember, 262 verses of it, he even helps us to remember John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. He even helps us in the remembering part. What a God. He's so cool. Hey, don't forget, remember. Oh, and I'll help you remember. I'll fill in the gaps. I'll fill in the hole in your brain. I'll help you remember. But you got to turn that way and take a look. I'll bring it back to your remembrance. I'll bring it back. Let us not develop spiritual Alzheimer's, but let's remember what God's done. Grab somebody's hand. Father, I thank you because you're such an amazing God. Your eyes go to and fro looking for loyal, on fire people who may be struggling, but Lord, we have a desire to be consumed by you, to live for you, to repent of our wrong, move forward and go on. Look back, take an inspirational look, and then jump over the hurdles, the chasms, the things that are blocking us from moving forward in you. We jump over, Lord, as we look back and take a running start to a new year that you want to simplify in our life. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I said we have a tendency to contemplate. complicate. I'm having a hard time complicating this word. Complicate our Christianity. Jesus wants to simplify it. These next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look back in some areas that Jesus called our greatest commandment. Love the Lord, heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're going to take a look in a whole new way at how Jesus simplified and gave us a great way to live sold out for Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, come right here. There'll be some people who will pray for you. If you need prayer for something else, come here. They'll pray for you. There'll be a group who will pray for any issues. Maybe you need to come to these altars and bend a knee so you can take a spiritual journey backwards in your mind. Maybe you need to, and may I encourage you, please do not leave here today without consciously in your mind and putting some effort to look back at where it was you had that encounter. Where it was that bush ignited and the supernatural of God became your living reality and you dedicated yourself. Take a look and let it cause the motivation to run hard the remainder, to jump over whatever comes in your way. You can be all that Jesus wants you to be. God bless you guys. I love you tons, and as I said, what a privilege it is to be on this walk and journey together with you. God bless you, love you.